You can be seated. I'm going to read a familiar passage from Acts chapter 3. I'm so thankful for the report that we heard from Pastor Sue regarding our Givetober and what God is already doing through this church to touch this community. What he's going to be doing in touching the youth through the Youth Alpha that Chris and Hannah are going to be hosting and leading. Folk, God is on the move. God is on the move. Can you say amen? Are you thankful today? Well, I want to share just a few thoughts this morning. In Acts chapter 3, we're going to be resuming the series we began some time ago from the book of Acts called Unstoppable. And I believe this message is so tied with what we have been emphasizing this month. And I don't want to miss what I believe God wants to say to us. I'm not going to preach the whole message. If you would like to see the whole message, you can go after church anytime today and this week. Go onto YouTube and go to our church YouTube site, and there it will be in completion. But just let me read this passage, and then I want to share a couple thoughts and then a story. A couple thoughts and a story. One day, chapter 3, verse 1, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. When we talk about missions, when we talk about the infilling of the Spirit, you cannot have one without the other. We can preach the gospel, we can preach the word, we can do all of that till the cows come home, but until it is married together with the anointing and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, that's where influence happens. I like what Lloyd Ogilvie wrote a number of years ago. The power of Pentecost is for people. What happened at Pentecost is for the paralysis of the world. The Holy Spirit, Christ in the present tense, is for the healing of people in the present age. The excitement and enthusiasm of the infilling of the Spirit was to create a people through whom the Lord could continue his ministry of restoration and healing. A new age was born. Christ was alive in his people, and they were now equipped to do what he had done and the greater things he promised, communicating his love and bringing people to him. I want you to hear this carefully. The power of Pentecost is to build a new building. No. The power of Pentecost is to have exciting programs for kids and youth. No. The power of Pentecost is for people. Hallelujah. There is a paralysis that has happened in this world. We have seen it in the last 18 months primarily. A paralysis of fear. A paralysis of hopelessness. A paralysis of peacelessness. But there is a power provided by the Holy Spirit, the power of Pentecost, that fills his people to make an influence and impact on the people in Sydney, the peninsula, Canada, and around the world. The question we ask is, where does this power happen? Where do believers make an influence? Let me share with you quickly four areas where this influence takes place and how this power is worked through your life and mine. The first place we make a difference is where God is abiding. Peter and John were going about their ordinary day, their ordinary business, going to the temple on their ordinary regimen to pray as they always had. There were three times in the day that the people prayed, at 9 in the morning, 12 noon, at 3 in the afternoon. This was the busiest time of prayer for people to come to the temple. Thank God for the temple. Thank God for a place to come and gather to worship God. But they were going to learn an important lesson, that God does not just abide in buildings of brick and mortar, steel and glass, but he abides and makes impact where he is. And where he is where you and I are. For you see, as followers of Jesus, who are indwelled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, where we go, the presence of Jesus goes. We don't need to wait until we come into this building, but where we go, to school, to work, shopping, with our family, we are bringing the presence of Jesus with us. And we make a difference where God's presence is abiding. Wherever we go, wherever we do, God can take an ordinary day. He can take an ordinary man or woman, and he can turn it around to something extraordinary because his presence is there. Second place where we make a difference is where God is anticipated. We see here another character introduced into our story. Peter and John are going to where they needed to be, in the place where God's people were gathered to pray. But along the way, through the crowds of people, they encounter a lame man. Luke tells us that he had been there at least 40 years, or at least 40 years he was lame. And as was the custom in those days, as adults, the lame, the beggars, they would find a secure place where they would be found. And this particular place is called the Beautiful Gate. It wasn't the actual gate, it was really a nickname because of its beauty and the immensity of its size. In fact, Josephus tells us that it was made of Corinthian brass, plated with gold and silver. It was about 75 feet high and 60 feet wide. When the sun shone, there was a glistening brightness, and you knew that was the gate leading into the temple. Here was this lame man who had never walked. He had never felt the cool green grass of home. He had never been able to work for himself. He was alone, surrounded by people, but yet alone in his desperation. It seemed that no one could help him. All he had was the mercy of those who have put a few pennies in his hat. He was in the most beautiful spot you could imagine. He was so close to where he believed God was, but seemed so far away. And here come Peter and John. You know, there's something, if we read it quickly, we miss something significant. Peter and John had made this a daily regimen their entire adult lives. And it go and it stands to reason that the 3 years they spent with Jesus, that when they came into Jerusalem, into the temple, this would be the way that they would go into the temple. At least for three years, they would pass this man by in his need, alone. In 3 years, this man would see Jesus. He would hear the miracles that Jesus would give, but in 3 years, he was left lame. How many people know what it's like to suffer, to hurt, to be in pain? And for you, it seems forever. You hear about what God is doing in so many other places, and you wonder, is God ever going to do it for me? Does he see me where I am? And as Peter and John together come through the temple gates, this man sees him, and I'm wondering if he recognized him. Yes, these two were with Jesus. And Dr. Luke, in the Greek words that he uses, he speaks, it's as if he is shouting directly at Peter and John, "Alms, alms for the poor, help me, help me." Oh, my friends, do we hear the people in Sydney? Do we hear the people in Victoria? Do we hear the people who are desperate, who are lame because of sin? Do we hear them who are hurting, crying out, "Somebody, somebody help me. Somebody, I'm in need." This man had been lame his whole life. All he could expect or anticipate were a few coins. But Peter and John look on this man, and all of a sudden, I believe by the power of the Spirit, they saw someone different. They saw someone who God loved. They saw someone who Jesus died for. And they look to him, and they say, "Come on, look at us." And so he looks up, expecting to get a few coins, maybe even a silver dollar or two. And Peter says, "Silver." Ah, his eyes turn wide. "And gold." The blood is rushing from his head. "Gold, silver, we don't have." "But such as we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." You see, this man was only expecting his wants to be made. But by revelation of the Spirit, I believe, and a word of faith, Peter and John recognize the need that Jesus could and would meet, because miracles happen, differences happen, impact happens when God is present and God is anticipated. Hallelujah. God's power is at work where he is expected. And not only where he's expected, but where he's in authority. They speak to him not in their name, not in their authority, but they proclaim, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus." In the name of Jesus. You've all heard the phrase, "Well, it's not what you know, it's who you know." How many have heard that phrase at least once in your life? Peter and John, they come not in their own authority, but in the one who had given them all authority and was all authority. And folk, that is our mission. As we go out, as we heard from Kevin last week, as we'll be hearing from the Bersaglios next week, they would agree that we go out not in our own strength, but we go in the authority and name of Jesus. Because you see, God's power is at work where he is in charge. They recognized it wasn't by their own strength, wit, or genius that they would help this man, but they were under the authority and lordship of Jesus Christ. Therefore, any healing, any impact, anything that would happen would not be their own, but they would be speaking in Jesus' name. They recognized that they were simply the hands of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, and the mouth of Jesus. Focus the same for you and I. When we leave this building in a few moments, and we go to our workplace, when we go to our school, when we go shopping, when we're with our friends and neighbors this week, let's never forget this. Not only do we go with the presence of Jesus, but we go as his hands, as his feet, and as his mouth. We go to serve in Jesus' name. The fourth place where we make a difference is where God is adored. The lame man, I'm sure, was not hearing right. When he heard those words from Peter, I have to wonder if he looked at Peter and going, "Are you mocking me? Are you mocking me? I've been this way for 40 years. You're telling me to walk? I don't know how to walk." So Peter, recognizing his hesitancy, takes his hand and he grabs him by the hand and he begins to pull him up. And I wonder if the man was resisting in a way, afraid maybe he would fall. But as he begins to be pulled up, he hears something happen. How many, you've cracked your knuckles before? Or how many of this, your experience is mine? You get up in the morning and you hear those strange clicks in the morning in your knees. You know what I'm talking about? He hears his bones, his ankles clicking, and a feeling he's never had before. Strength begins to come through his body. And all of a sudden, he is standing erect, eye to eye with Peter and John. And he doesn't know what to say, but he knows what to do. I'm healed, and I'm not just going to walk. I'm going to run. I'm not just going to run. I'm going to leap, and I'm going to leap for joy. And folk, here's the point. God's power is not just where God is present. God's impact is not just where he is Lord, but God's impact is happening when he is adored and worshiped. Hallelujah. 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 So what does this mean for you and I? How do we make an impact? You and I make an impact. We're going to be leaving this place in a moment. I want you to know that God has called each of you to make an impact. And he called you to make an impact where the people are. My grandfather used to say church would be great, but then people come through the door. The point is, ministry and serving people is hard. It's messy. And so many times it would be easier to avoid people rather than approaching and getting involved and getting our hands messy. But folk, we can't afford to stay at home. We can't afford to stay in the safety of these four walls, as beautiful as this place is. My brother and sister, I want you to not miss this point, but we don't go out alone. But notice, it was Peter and John. Throughout Acts, you find it's Peter and John, Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Timothy. It's never an individual, but it's the body of Christ going out together. Folk, we make an impact, not in our own strength, but we make it as we go out together in Jesus' name. And to do that, we must also be willing to be interrupted. Peter and John were on their way to church. Now, can you imagine, just try to imagine the audacity of this scenario. Can you imagine if Peter and John said, oh, we would love to help you out, but we're on the way to the temple to pray and worship. We need to get on with our lives. We have better things to do than get involved. Why don't you go over and wait for the Salvation Army? Folk, each and every moment of the day, if we allow Holy Spirit to open our eyes, He gives us opportunities to be His mouth, to be His hands, and to be His feet. They come in ways that we can never imagine, that we would never think of, even when we're not ready. So if you'd be ready to come in just a moment. Many of you know that Sue and I, we had a trailer at the Pentecostal camp in Colborne, Ontario. Had it there for many, many, many years. In the site next to us was a family, Rob and Coralie, and their four children and umpteen foster children. I'd known Rob and Coralie for years. We grew up in the same youth group together. Later on, when we began having families, we came to Coburg, we got trailers together, and our children literally grew up together on those campgrounds. Rob and Coralie not only are wonderful parents, a wonderful family. They've raised their family to serve the Lord. They've made a humongous impact. In fact, when I think of them, Einar and Merritt, I think of you and the hundreds and even thousands of young people that you have poured into in your lives. And that was Rob and Coralie. They just poured into the lives of children and young people. Just before the pandemic, Rob thought, you know what? I'm going to go to Ireland and I'm going to go to grad school and I'm going to get my Master of Social Work degree. So he and Coralie, all of their kids had graduated from high school and university and were already on their way. They were empty nesters. What am I going to do in our empty nest? They decide to go back to university. So they were accepted at the university in Dublin, Ireland, and that's where they spent the following year. Well, then that next year, COVID happened, and they had to come back right away. So they returned back to Canada, and they found a place to live, and they thought, well, travel restrictions now are loosening. We have the ability. Why don't we try to go back to Ireland and complete our education. So as they were making plans, Rob noticed something different. He went to the doctor, and in July, this past July, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. That scuttled all their plans. Now what were they going to do? We knew we were coming to Ontario, and we wanted to have time to have dinner or at least coffee with them while we were there. And then something happened that changed all of that. And Sue, I'm going to ask if you would come and tell the rest of the story.
Yeah, we were looking forward to spending time visiting with our friends, thinking it might be their last visit, and so I actually sent her a text, I think our second week, and said, you know, are you guys ready or whatever? She says, I'm ready to send you, I was just sending you a text. Rob had collapsed on the Sunday. They rushed him to the hospital, and it looked like it was a stroke. They knew he had cancer, so they did the tests and the scans, and it turned out it was a tumor in the brain with a bleed. And so, yes, stroke-like, but it was the cancer that had caused him to collapse. So we immediately started praying. We still haven't seen him yet other than, at that point, other than a video. And the Friday was when I got all this information. Our daughter works at the airport in Peterborough. She's on the ground crew at the airport in Peterborough. Our daughter, who is prodigal at the moment, but still asks us to pray for her when she has things she wants prayer for, and that. And so she was at the hospital at work, and she came home from work, and she said, "You're not going to believe this." She said, "They medevaced Rob today from Peterborough to Ottawa. They were able to find a surgeon within 10 hours of finding out what the bleed had been in that, and that he would try to help them, but he had to be flown to Ottawa." And the wife had been on her way to Ottawa to pick up one of the kids, to bring him home, to come and say goodbye to dad, and halfway there they got the phone call, "Don't bother, we're flying him to Ottawa right now." And so they rushed back to get to the airport because they wanted to see him before he went. They'd been in the hospital with him all week. And they walked in there, and who's standing there at the gate to greet them is my daughter, who is best friends with their daughter. And and Esther was up to date with what was going on and on, whatever. She said, "Mom, I took a chance. I put them in my truck, drove them out to the plane as the ambulance was leaving, and asked the pilot, can they have a few minutes?" Not knowing if this was right protocol or not, not wanting to break it, but asking if they could. And they looked at my daughter and they said, "Well, of course." So as soon as the medical staff had him stable in the plane, they were able to go and visit with him for a few minutes before the plane took off. And my daughter's name is Esther. And what's the big key verse in for such a time as this? So the wife sent me the text the next day. The surgery had been a success. They were able to remove the tumor and stop the bleeding. And she sent a note of thanks going, "How were we to know that us pouring into our kids together all those years at camp, bringing them to the altar, doing all of these things you do as parents, and that even if they are their choices are different than what we would anticipate right now, God still places them for just a time as this." And so I said, I want your permission to send this to my daughter. I want Jesus' words to impact her. I mean, she knows mom and dad will say, "Hey, come on back any day now. No worries, whatever." So I sent it. And my daughter was like, "Mom, it was an honor." And I'm going, "Yeah, baby, it was. It was an honor to let God work through you for those times." So the last video is Rob is up and walking. He had lost use of his left side with the tumor, but he is up and walking, talking. His humor has not changed. His cognitive skills are all good. And they're just waiting to restart chemo for the rest of the cancer, and then he'll do his rehab in Peterborough. That was a video update yesterday. So God works even when we don't think he's done anything. He is amazing that way.
Amen. You've been waiting a long time, some of you. Hear those words that Sue just said. The man at the gate had waited years, wondering, is God ever going to meet me? But at such a time as this, Peter and John come. At such a time as this, Esther, who was just having an ordinary day, doing her ordinary job, God even used her. Folk, three things I want you to remember as you leave, and the worship team can come back to the stage. First thing, wherever you find yourself this week, remember you bring the presence of Jesus. You cannot give everything, but you can give something. You cannot do everything, but you can do something. There is nothing that's insignificant when you're striving to make an impact for people. So as Paul writes, and with this I conclude, Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus.